I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM.
And every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound.
As indicated by this intro song, Simon and Garfunkel's Homeward Bound, today's program is a special program dedicated to Thanksgiving music. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical questions.
I wish I was home.
Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website goodhousekeeping.com. Couple of fill-in-the-blank Thanksgiving questions today. First one, question number one, what is the most musical part of a turkey? Question number two, what's the link between Mary Had a Little Lamb and Thanksgiving? The answers to these two important questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of November 18th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1998, that a three-day world conference on music and censorship began in Copenhagen, 1998, today. And it was 24 years ago today, 1998, that Alanis Morissette did an in-store performance for the opening of a Tower record store in Buenos Aires. The proceeds from the sale of her album for the day were donated to a local children's hospital on this day back in 1998. Neil Young's Harvest Moon provides the country and folk Thanksgiving set. Perhaps an explanation of what a harvest moon is will provide a context for this autumn song. As noted in thealmanac.com, for several evenings in the fall, the moonrise comes soon after sunset. This results in abundance of bright moonlight early in the evening, which was a traditional aid to farmers and crews harvesting their summer-grown crops. Hence, it's called the Harvest Moon. And from songmeanings.com, we have this about the Neil Young song. What makes Harvest Moon heartbreakingly beautiful is the singer's desire to, quote-unquote, dance in the light, what little light they have left, Moonlight is not as bright as the fire of the sun, the fires of passionate love, the fires of youth, but it reflects the sun's light back to us when we are in darkness. Even if it can't warm us, it reminds us the sun once shined. And there is definitely the melancholy of missing someone, even if you're still with them. With, quote-unquote, "I Want to See You Dance Again," the singer is saying it has been too long since she danced, smiled, or enjoyed being alive. As noted in a 10/20/20 article titled "Trading Tinnitus to Tranquility, How Hearing Loss Forced Neil Young into a Somber Masterpiece, Harvest Moon," by Jack Carter in HappyMag.tv. After touring in 1990, Young developed hyperacusis, a condition that makes it sound like everything is turned way up too high, which eventually led to tinnitus. The decision to make an abrupt return to his country origins on Harvest Moon was surprising to his new fan base. "I made Harvest Moon because I didn't want to hear any loud sounds," Young stated in a 1995 interview with Mojo magazine. Because Young's hearing had become softer, he was forced to pack away all the chaos, clutter, hype, and scrutiny that had been following him for 20 years to make space for an album where he was able to recline back into a much gentler and tender sound. And it turned out to be the making of Harvest Moon. It's a record bathing in nostalgia, and there isn't a genre out there that can conjure sentiment and wistfulness as well as country and folk. The album is as stripped back as Young could make it without regressing to just himself and an acoustic guitar. His pinched vocals are backed by drums, bass, and piano, and enriched when the notes slide off co-producer Ben Keith's pedal steel guitar. But when the songs steer towards a crescendo, Linda Ronstadt and James Taylor's sublime harmonies are all that are needed to propel them. Vivaldi's The Four Seasons introduces our classical music news. It's entitled Thanksgiving Music, Best Classical Pieces for Your Turkey Day Playlist. This is published in ClassicFM.com by Maddie Shaw Roberts on the 22nd of November 2021. Thanksgiving is a time for appreciating the wonderful things and people we have in our lives. And for musicians and music lovers, that includes great music. Looking for some beautiful classical music to accompany your traditional turkey or nut roast dinner? Here's a selection of great pieces. Vivaldi, The Four Seasons, Autumn. The third movement of Vivaldi's The Four Seasons is the quintessential music for the autumn season. The great Baroque composer uses music to paint an idyllic country picture, giving us a timeless work of art. ¶¶ And then there's Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring. Copland's popular orchestral suite, originated as a ballet, which tells of 19th century American pioneers building a new farmhouse. The suite is full to the brim with all-American tunes, including a Shaker song, Simple Gifts, which Copland borrowed and incorporated into the music. You might recognize the tune. It's the basis of the popular hymn, Lord of the Dance. For the Beauty of the Earth is another song that's recommended here for classical music. It's traditionally associated with harvest time and associated two contrasting tunes, Dick's and England's Lane. Thanks to John Rutter's lovely SATB arrangement, it's now a firm favorite with choirs around the world. And then there's Bach's Brandenburg Concertos. For the perfect getaway to the world of Baroque music, look no further than Bach's Brandenburg Concertos. Each of the six contrasting concertos makes the perfect musical accompaniment to a day of festivities. Then there's Beethoven's Symphony No. 6, Pastoral. Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony is an homage to the great outdoors and one of the first pieces to paint a musical picture of a particular visual scene. As the nights draw in, it's the perfect reminder of freshly cut grass, fields of bluebells, and maybe even a whiff of the farmyard awaiting us in warmer months. And then there's Charles Ives' Symphony No. 4. Ives's Fourth Symphony, which premiered in New York City in 1927, was one of the first symphonic masterpieces by an American composer. It's bold, completely original for its time, and has been hailed as Ives' climatic masterpiece. And last but not least, Jay Unger's Ashokan Farewell. American folk musician Jay Unger wrote the achingly beautiful Ashokan Farewell in 1982, and for years it was played as a farewell waltz at dance camps run by the composer and his wife. It's a melody that cries of home, and you can't help but be moved by it. Stan Getz provides our jazz contribution to Thanksgiving music, Autumn Leaves, the song about death that lives on. This is written by Stephen Rutledge on the 10th of November 2020 in worldofwonder.net. Autumn Leaves is a product of the French poet Jacques Prévert and Hungarian composer Joseph Kosmo, who lived in Paris during World War II in the Nazi occupation of France. During this period of time, Cosma was placed under house arrest and was banned from making music by the Nazis. Prévert managed to arrange for Cosma to contribute music for films and with other composers fronting for him. He wrote the music for the great standard, Autumn Leaves, with French lyrics by Prévert and later English lyrics by Johnny Mercer. This song is featured in the film noir, Autumn Leaves, 1956, starring Joan Crawford. Johnny Mercer was a partner in Capitol Records, and Capitol artist Joe Stafford made the first English language recording in 1950. The song was recorded throughout the 50s by leading pop vocalists of the era, including Bing Crosby, Doris Day, and Frank Sinatra. It was also popular as an instrumental piece by jazz artists, including Artie Shaw, Earl Garner, Duke Ellington, Miles Davis, and here in the background, Stan Getz from 1952. It has been recorded at least 1,400 times by jazz musicians alone and is the eighth most recorded tune by jazz artists. Weird Al's Eat It introduces our music research and technology. It's an article titled, Ways That Music Can Affect Your Digestion. This is published on the 9th of October in 2015, shanson/cafe.com. Slow, gentle music is known to be relaxing. Human digestion functions best when you are calm, relaxed, and feel safe. This means that soft music, such as classical, soft jazz, or easy listening variations, can help put you into a relaxed mood that encourages efficient digestion. Alternatively, fast, loud music with complex rhythms and lyrics, such as rock, rap, and some pop, can increase your respiration and heart rate. An increase in heart rate can slow down digestion as the energy required for digestion is being spent elsewhere in your body. Slow music can encourage you to eat slower than you would if you were not listening to music or listening to fast music. This is because the repetitive motion of bringing food to your mouth and chewing is a naturally rhythmic process and will sync with the tempo of the music you're listening to. Without even thinking about it, you will bring the fork to your mouth more slowly and chew for longer periods of time. Eating slowly has been associated with weight loss. This is because it takes time for your body to recognize that you are full and for you to stop eating. Just as slow music can encourage you to slow down when you eat, fast music can encourage you to eat more quickly. You may find yourself finishing your meal more quickly than you expected, and you may overeat because you do not leave enough time for your body to signal fullness when you eat quickly. Additionally, if the fast music is played loudly, you may be distracted from your meal and not pay attention to the flavors, textures, or taste of the food. This can make it more difficult for your body to signal its cravings, and you may end up eating more food.
Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it, eat it. Don't you make me repeat it.
And we fly just like birds of a feather. I want you. Can they be that close? Just let me state for the record, we're giving love in a family dose.
We are family. Hey, hey, hey. I got all my sisters and me.
We are family.
Sister Sledge, We Are Family, introduces our rock and pop Thanksgiving music. As noted by the intro song to today's program, Simon and Garfunkel's Homeward Bound, Thanksgiving is more than just about food. It's about the gathering together of friends and family as well. And family is more than just relatives. Perhaps Sister Sledge's song, We Are Family, captured that theme best. The song rose to number 2 on the charts in the U.S. in 1979. As noted in songfacts.com, this song became an anthem for women's groups and a message of unity. The sisters of Sister Sledge said that they're proud of the song because it gives them a familial connection with their fans, who often share stories with the group about their own families. It also represents the closeness of the sisters, who grew up singing as a form of recreation. Their grandmother was an opera singer who taught the girls how to harmonize and invited them to sing at her church. As a result, in their early days of performing around Philadelphia, they were known as Mrs. Williams' granddaughters. The group recorded this song in one take. Kathy Sledge, who sang lead, did not know the lyrics ahead of time. Rogers and Edwards gave her each line through her headphones as it came up to make it sound spontaneous. Songfacts.com also notes that the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team used this as their theme song in 1979. led by Willie Pops Stargirl, they came back from a 3-1 deficit to defeat the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series. The song got constant airplay on Pittsburgh radio stations as the Pirates' season progressed. For the team, it represented players of different backgrounds coming together as one. The words, "the family," were printed on top of their dugout during the World Series. Perhaps in these times of divisiveness, such a banner would be helpful again.
Just a lucky guy, and here I'm about to tell you why. It's strictly on account of my sweet potato pie.
And in Thanksgiving music with a local connection, for dessert today, we have North Carolina native James Taylor singing of the far-reaching effects of this traditional Southern Thanksgiving meal dessert on his general quality of life, sung here with Ray Charles. As expressed in his lyrics, "O Lord, I feel fine today, walking on cloud nine today. I'm over that line today. Happiness is finally mine today. I guess I'm just a lucky guy. Here I'm about to tell you why. It's strictly on account of my sweet potato pie.
That's my sweet potato pie.
So how did you do on today's second trivia question? What do Thanksgiving and the song Mary Had a Little Lamb have in common? Correct answer? Well, as noted in an August 26, 2022 article in Good Housekeeping by Taylor Murphy et al., the correct answer is that both the holiday of Thanksgiving and the song Mary Had a Little Lamb were created by the very same person. Writer and editor Sarah Josepha Hale convinced President Abraham Lincoln to officially declare Thanksgiving a national holiday after 3 decades of persistent lobbying. The author also founded the American Ladies magazine, which promoted women's issues long before suffrage. She wrote countless articles and letters advocating for Thanksgiving to help unify the northern and southern states amid gathering divisions. Hale kept at it, even after the Civil War broke out, and Lincoln actually wrote the proclamation just a week after her last letter in 1863, earning her the name the Mother of Thanksgiving. That same article also answers the question, where do turkeys get their name? Turns out it's the country of Turkey. During the Ottoman Empire, a bird called the guinea fowl, which bears a striking resemblance to the American turkey, was imported to Europe from its native North Africa. Europeans calling them the turkey cock and the turkey hen. When settlers in the Americas began sending similar-looking birds back to Europe, the name had already stuck. That same article also answers this holiday-related question. What city is home to the oldest Thanksgiving parade? Correct answer, Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Gimbel Brothers Department Store Parade in 1920 had only 50 people, 15 cars, and a fireman dressed as Santa Claus, whose presence signified the start of the holiday season. Today it's much bigger and called the ABC Dunkin' Donuts Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was, however, the inspiration for the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade, which began 4 years later in 1924. And the answer to our first fill-in-the-blank question, what is the most musical part of a turkey? Well, actually, you probably should ponder the possibilities to this important trivia question by first hearing some of the other items given in this November 9, 2022 Good Housekeeping article titled 56 Funny Thanksgiving Jokes That Everyone Will Find Hilarious. For example, there's this answer to the common dilemma confronted by cooks on Thanksgiving. What is the best way to stuff a turkey? Answer, serve him lots of pizza and ice cream. Okay, then there's this one. What kind of music did the pilgrims like? Answer, Plymouth rock, of course. So now you know the kind of answer to expect from today's question. What is the most musical part of a turkey? It's the drumstick. Sorry about that. So let's close out today's program with Liberace's tribute to the turkey with his piano variations on the song Turkey in the Straw. Time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.